children come up this morning. Children's special. Sister Laura's gonna, she's in charge of it. All the children.
Amen. Certainly appreciate Sister Laura teaching him and trying to instruct our young people, and that's important. Baylor, our middle child, sings that song a lot. My prayer is one day he'll know just how big God is, how strong God is, and how much God can really do. That's my prayer for my children. Daddy may not always be able to give them everything, but one thing I want to make certain that they know about, one thing I want more for my children than anything in this world, is for them to be saved. That's the one thing I desire. I want them to be smart boys. I want them to have an education. All of that is well and good, but I want them to know Jesus more than anything else in this world. That's what I want for my children. Certainly, I appreciate those that brought your children and your grandchildren this morning, and we stand in need of your prayers. It seems the Lord has given us a thought this morning, and it's simple, I guess, in its context, but it doesn't take very much to be a big subject for us. But I want you to listen this morning. I've had some things upon our heart, and the Lord, like I said, He's given us a burden, and I pray this morning this church is seeking God for a burden. We need a burden. We need something and someone that God may lay upon our heart that we can pray for. And I'm talking about, church, that somebody gets in bed with us. It doesn't take too awful long when you get a burden from God that it'll even pull you out of bed sometimes. So we need that kind of burden as God's people. And it may seem like something that's a hardship in the beginning, but when God fulfills what He's told you He's going to do, it'll be one of the biggest blessings you've ever had in your life. So I pray this morning we're seeking God for that. I have, the title of this subject is, Are You a Sinner? And I want you to know this morning that no matter how poor of a job we may do in presenting this message, I want to confirm the question I have asked you is, we are all sinners this morning, each and every one of us. But I want you to examine yourself, and I want you to examine your heart, because what is important is each and every one of us know where we stand in the eyes of an almighty God. I know where I stand. And I can't speak for anyone else this morning, but I know because of what God has done for me in saving my soul, that I know that one day after a while, heaven will be my home. I'm confident in that. So this morning, I want you to examine yourself. I want you to look at your heart and examine what's in there. Sometimes we need to go back. We need to look. And folks, I'll tell you this morning, I'm not afraid to go back. I can examine what God has given me, and I'm confident in it, and I'm secure in it. So this morning, I want you to think about that. Are you a sinner? We're going to take some reading this morning from the fourth chapter of Genesis is where we're going to be reading from. And I know a lot of this is familiar to some of you, but it may not be for others. In the beginning, God created man some time and went by, and God created man. The Bible says that He formed him out of the dust of the earth, and He breathed into his nostrils, and he became a living soul. God had commanded him one commandment. He basically told him that in the garden that he could eat of every tree with an exception of one. And that tree was of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He said, for as soon as you eat this, he said, you shall surely die. And I'm paraphrasing that this morning. But just as soon as Eve was tempted there in the garden, Satan come upon the scene. And I want you to know this morning that Satan is very cunning. He is a deceiver. And the Bible, Jesus even claimed that he was the father of lies. He's a liar. And he come upon the scene and he tempted Eve. And she did eat. And the Bible says there that she gave unto her husband, and Adam ate also. Now as soon as they ate of that fruit, the Bible says that their eyes was opened. And they realized that they were naked. And they went about to gather fig leaves that they may cover themselves. And the Bible says there that God called out to them. And he began to deal with them. And he spoke to Satan there. And basically he told them this. And I want to read back just a moment in the third chapter. And he said, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." And it goes on down a little bit there. In the 21st verse it says, "And unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord make coats of skin and clothed them." Now because of their sin, they were no longer to be there, what you'd say, in paradise on earth. That's what the Garden of Eden was. Basically as close to heaven as you could get to on earth. And they had everything. They were there in communion with God. They had a relationship with God. They had fellowship with God. But just as soon as they had broken that commandment, God told them that they were to go out and to work and labor for their food then. And that they weren't necessarily under that protection anymore. But as they left, we know that God spoke to them, and He made them a covering for their for them, and basically God made a sacrifice, an atonement, and He covered them. Now, as soon as they went out, and this is where I want to get into our reading, it says in the first verse in the fourth chapter, "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, and Abel he also brought the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering." And I want to stop there for a moment. In the process of time, now the first parents, if you will, they bare two sons, two brothers. And Cain was bared first. And his name, if you was to, the meaning of his name means possession. And if you was to look at the name or the meaning of Abel, it means breath or vanity. And I want you to know this morning that the preacher in Ecclesiastes says all is vanity. Vanity of vanities. Everything is vanity this morning. And you say, everything, preacher, everything is vanity. He makes a statement that even basically our life is even vanity. That we are, every essence of our being, this flesh, is but vanity. And we know here that in the process of time, it said that they made an offering. Now, I want you to understand something that's very important. I believe that as these first parents, that they had an obligation to teach their children. And I believe that they did teach their children. I believe because the Bible instructs it. I believe that God had showed them that there had to be a sacrifice, an offering that was made for the covering of their sin. And they taught their children that, and they brought them up, if you will, and tried to show them and point them this morning. And listen, church, that's exactly what we're trying to do as parents and grandparents, is point our children and grandchildren to the Lord. And not only that, but I'm telling you, it's our responsibility to point the whole world to the Lord. It doesn't just stop right here, but it goes beyond those four walls. We are the church. It's not just this building, but we are the church, and we're to go out. Now listen, he had tried to instruct them and tried to teach them. And I believe that some of those teachings stuck, and it laid a foundation for them. Now it says that Cain went forward, and he presented his offering unto the Lord. Now, I don't know for sure when this was, but I believe it was a special time. I don't know if it was on the seventh day. I don't know what day exactly it was, but it was in the process of time. And he basically presented his offering unto the Lord. He took to him the fruit of the ground, the Bible says. Now, I don't know if he's talking about grapes or what exactly it is, the fruit of the ground that he's trying to describe, but he brought forth something because he was a tiller of the ground, something that he was able to bring forward from his work and his labors. It said also that Abel brought forth his offering and that it was an offering of his firstling. An offering of the fat thereof. Now I want you to see this morning that Jesus in this picture here. Abel brought forth the best that he had. Abel brought the best of the best. He brought forth his firstling. He brought forth the fat thereof. I'm telling you that it was the best of the sheepfold that he had. The very best. And he brought it for an offering unto the Lord. And the Bible says that God had respect unto Abel for his offering. Now, you may say this morning, why? I've heard some say, well, that's not very fair. That's not very fair that that God would have respect towards Abel's offering and not respect for Cain's offering. That's not fair. Listen, I'm going to tell you this morning what the difference was. In Hebrews 9 and 22, it says, basically to paraphrase this, it says, for without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Now, what does that mean, remission? We hear that all the time. That word remission means forgiveness. So he says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Now, something, obviously, that Abel and Cain's parents, Adam and Eve, the first parents, had instructed them, was able to pick up on something. I believe in my heart that the only gospel that we really have preached right here is in the 15th verse, and it says, and I will put enmity, which that word means hate, between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. What exactly is God trying to tell them? He's saying, listen, I'm going to send somebody. He'll come down through the process of time, and I'll send somebody that will overcome Satan. I'm going to send him, and not only will I send him, but he shall crush him. Listen, he's saying, Jesus, the one that I send, he'll suffer. His suffering may be great, but he will crush Satan. under his heel. My friend Abel was looking towards a Redeemer. He was looking for somebody to come. Now, I believe in all of my heart this morning that Abel seen himself for what he was. Abel seen himself this morning as a sinner. I believe in all my heart, Abel seen that there is nothing that I can do on my own that I could take to the Lord that He might forgive me. But if I take this sheep, I'm talking about this firstling, this the very best that I've got, if I take this lamb and offer it unto God, maybe it'll be sufficient. I pray that it'll be sufficient. Because there is nothing on my own that I can do that He might forgive me. Listen to me this morning. I want you to understand something, that maybe as you sit here and you're gathered around us, maybe you think that you've been pretty good. I want you to know this morning that maybe you think that you've lived a pretty good life, and maybe you have. Maybe that you see yourself kind of like that rich young ruler over there that he said, Lord, all the commandments I have followed from my youth up. He said, I've done everything that I can do. And I'll be honest with you, I believe that rich young ruler was a pretty good young man. I believe he probably did follow most of the commandments. But when it come down to it, the Lord told him, He said, well, take whatever thou hast and sell it. And He said, give to the poor. And He said, take up thy cross and follow me. And the Bible says that that rich young ruler went away sorrowful because he had great position. Now, I'll tell you this morning, I don't have any evidence in my Bible that tells me that he was ever saved. I have to believe in my heart that that rich young ruler, even though that he was a good young man and probably did live a pretty good life, is in hell today. You say, well, preacher, that's pretty crude. Listen to me, folks. God doesn't have to be fair. God is almighty and He is just in every action that He does. He is holy. He doesn't have to be fair. If God wanted to be truly just in every aspect of it, well, He could have just destroyed it all right then and said, I'm finished with it. But do you know what He did? He said, listen, I love you this much. I have created you. He said, I will make a way for you. Abel went to the Lord because he seen himself as a sinner. Now listen, I want to read what the writer says over here in Hebrews. Hebrews 11. He says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made with things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. He said, by faith. By faith are you saved through grace. Listen this morning, I want you to understand something. That maybe this morning you're realizing for the very first time that you've become lost. Maybe this morning you've been lost for a really, really long time. That makes no difference to me as far as in that regard. What I want you to understand is this morning that you are a sinner. That I am a sinner. That each and every one of us, because of the transgressions of Adam and Eve, are sinners. But it's what we do. It's who we look to. It's who we place our hope and trust in that will get us to the other side. Listen this morning, I want to ask you a question. Where do you want to go? It's evident that each and every one of us are going to die. James said that this life is but a vapor. We're here but of a little while and then it disappears, it goes away. Listen, where do you want to go when you die? Do you want to hope that you get into heaven? Do you want to hope that you just barely miss hell? Listen, this morning, I'm telling you that you can know and have assurance this morning and where you're going. I'm not hoping this morning that I just barely make it into heaven. My friend, I know this morning that I'm going to heaven. You say, well, preacher, that's a bold statement. I'm telling you, I know because of what God done for me. I know because of what God done for me on an altar as a 9-year-old little boy. That's what's going to take me to heaven. You say, as a 9-year-old little boy, you seen yourself as a sinner? Yes, I did. That preacher preached to me the gospel, and it pricked my heart. And honey, I felt like there was nowhere else for me to go but unto the Lord. Listen to me this morning. Maybe you think that you're pretty good. The Bible tells me that none of us are any good. There's none of us that's any count. We're all as filthy rags, every one of us. But unless you place your trust and faith in Jesus Christ this morning, unless you repent and truly look to the Lord, when you die, when you draw your last breath, hell will be where you will go. By faith. What is faith? Well, the Apostle Paul, he tries to describe it. To me, faith is absolutely 100% putting your trust and confidence in the Lord. Absolutely putting your trust and confidence in the Lord. Abel was looking towards a Redeemer. He put his best lamb. My friend, I want you to know that John the Baptist, as he was standing there, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world." My friend, our Redeemer has come. Job said that I know that my Redeemer liveth. My friend, I know that He liveth this morning. I know that He's came. He is the Lamb of God, and He came to take the sin of the world away. Now this morning I said maybe you realize for the first time that you're lost. How do you know that you're lost? My friend, it's between you and God. So many times we try to interfere, and I've heard people say, well, I feel like this one's lost or this one's lost. Honey, God will let them know. If He's big enough to convict them, honey, He's big enough to let them know. If He's big enough to save them, He'll let them know when they're lost, won't He? Listen to me this morning. How do you know? Well, the best advice I can tell you is just, you'll know. Nobody had to tell me this morning when I was a little boy. I'm telling you, and y'all have heard me say it, and bless your heart, you may hear it 100 times. But when I was lost and undone and separated from God, didn't nobody have to tell me about it. I was sitting there just as happy as I could be one moment, and then in a flash of an eye, the next moment, my heart was tore all to pieces. I mean, it was like somebody just come in there and stomped all over my little old heart. I knew as a 9-year-old little boy that if I died in that condition, that hell was where I was going to go. I knew that. David said that he was brought low and the pains of hell got upon him. My friend, that's what happened to me. I'm telling you, God got a hold of me. How will you know this morning? You'll know. And there is nobody, nobody that you can go to but Jesus. I've seen mamas and daddies try to go up and pat babies on the backs and just try to comfort them and ease them and help them the best that they can. Honey, they need to see a separation. They need to know right now it's good. But honey, if they die like that, they'll burn forever. You say, well, preacher, that's awful hard for you to say your children hadn't become lost yet. I'm going to tell you this. My boys become lost. I want them to know that Daddy can't do nothing in this world to save them. There ain't nothing that I can do. That it comes down between them and the Lord. Now listen, Abel had seen himself for what he was, a sinner. This morning I pray that you see yourself for what you are, as a sinner. Cain had brought forth his offering. It wasn't, God didn't show him any respect upon it, the Bible says. It says then, I want to take back up our reading. It says, but unto Cain and his offering he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou then be accepted? If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And I want to stop there for just a moment. Cain's countenance had failed. Maybe this morning I want you to understand, maybe you have sought the Lord before. Maybe you're upset. Maybe you're frustrated because you can't quite get there. You see other people being saved. You see the Lord saving other souls. You hear of other people being saved. And you say, well, why won't He save me? Friend, I want you to know when you meet God's conditions, He will save your soul. You say, well, preacher, what's the conditions? You must see yourself for what you are in the eyes of an almighty God. Can you hear me this morning? Are you paying attention? You must see yourself as a sinner. And then what? Repent. Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, what are those conditions that must be met? He said, you must come forth with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. What does that mean? What does that contrite spirit mean? It means that you are crushed. What are you crushed about? You're crushed that you see yourself for what you are, and that there was a King of Kings that came down to this earth that gave His life for me and for you. Listen to me, church. If I got what I deserved, I'd spend eternity in hell. Did you hear me? You say, well, you're a preacher of the gospel. It don't make no difference. I'm a sinner that's been saved by the grace of God. That's all I am. When the rubber meets the road, that's all it is. I'm a nobody. I seen myself for what I was. To be brokenhearted, to have that contrite spirit. That contrite spirit means it's crushed. What does the crushing? The Holy Spirit. Church, what do we need? The presence of God's Spirit. That it may come in and that it might do its work. We can't crush anybody. The best preachers in the world can preach the best sermons that God has given them. And honey, if it ain't accompanied by the Holy Spirit, it'll have no effect. But if the Holy Spirit's there, it can have its work. Cain was wroth, the Bible says, and his countenance fell. He was upset that his younger brother had been accepted, his offering had. But I want you to know here what's important. God didn't just cast him out, but He said this. He said, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? He asked him a question. He said, if you'll just come as Abel came, if you'll just come and see yourself for what you are, he said, will then you not be accepted? Folks, if you don't get saved the first time you go, bless your heart, keep going and keep going and keep going until you get what you're looking for. Because salvation this morning is the greatest thing that we'll ever have. Listen to me, church. I'm telling you, it's the most precious gift that we'll ever receive. I really, I've had people ask me years ago, most of y'all are learning by now, I'm pretty simple. All I really ever wanted out of life was to be a daddy and to be a husband and to raise children. You say, well, that's really, really simple. Well, I had to find a wife who's willing to do that with me. I thought when the Lord blessed me with my little, and I thought, boy, y'all know what it's like to hold your little babies in your arms and just, God, just bless you. And I really thought, then, God, give me something. And He did give me something. But even through all of that, all of them little babies He's blessed me with throughout all my life, it doesn't compare to what God's put in here. I'm telling you, it's the most precious gift I've ever received. And it's never left me. It's never gotten old. It's good to know that you're a child of the King. God told Cain, He said, if you would just come like Abel did, He said, then you would be accepted. And let me make this point very clear. That we're living in a day and time now where folks think that they can go and just accept Christ. My friend, God is the offended party. God is the offended party here. He is the one that must accept us. You go to Him until you meet His conditions, and then He saves you. I want you to know this. If you go to an altar or you make an altar in your heart thinking, well, I ain't going to get it this time, bless your heart, more than likely you probably won't. I'm just being honest with you. But if you go to Him and you're determined that I'm going to get it, I'm going to get me a dose of it, I want what everybody else has got, and I ain't leaving till I get it. I believe in my heart, honey, that God will save you. But you've got to go to Him. Now listen. He said, and thou doest not well, seeing light at the door, and unto thee shall his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass that while they were in the field, Cain rose up against Abel and his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not, and my brother's keeper. I want to stop there for a moment. Bless his heart. We've got the first brothers that we know of that's been recorded, first children been recorded in the Bible. We've got the first murder that we know of that's been recorded in the Bible. This morning, maybe you're saying, well, preacher, I'm not a murderer. I've never killed anybody. I want you to know the Bible says that when you are guilty of one point in the law, you're guilty of all the law, every bit of it. God is no respecter of person this morning. Maybe you haven't murdered somebody. Maybe you've been pretty good. But have you lied? I don't know. That's between you and God. But I'm telling you this morning, each and every one of us has come short of the glory of God. Every one of us. Cain was upset, and the Bible says there that he went and he slew his brother Abel. I don't know what he used. Some people say that he used a rock. I don't know. The Bible's not very descriptive in that. It doesn't tell us. But what is more important is he killed his brother. Instead of going to God, that's all he had to do. Listen, lost friend, so many times lost people want to run away from God. And Brother Skinner, bless his heart, put it the best way I've ever heard it. He said, instead of running from God, run to God. Run to Him. Don't run away. When God is dealing with you, when He's knocking on your heart's door, and He's dealing with you, and He's letting you know that He wants a relationship with you, He's wanting you to know that He wants you to be saved. And He's knocking right here at your heart's door. And He's saying, come to Me. Come to Me. There's nowhere else to go.
There's nowhere else to run to. I love how it says that Peter over there, the Lord asked him, he says, his disciples were sitting around there, and the Lord said, who do men say that I am? They say, well, some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some say thou art prophet, some say thou art Elisha or Elias, and I'm paraphrasing this morning. And he says, but who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ. And the Lord said, blessed be thy Peter, Simon Peter. He said, for God hath revealed it unto you. Listen, anybody that's ever been saved, how do you know you've been saved? Because God has revealed it unto you. Maybe this morning, just as he reveals to us that we have been saved, he'll reveal to you, like I said, that you've been lost. And I want you to understand that maybe you say, preacher, I'm not a murderer. I'm not this. I'm not that. There's none of us that's any count. None of us. He said, I know not. He lied. The Bible says that we come forth from our mother's womb telling lies. My friend, this morning, maybe somebody's come to you and asked you before, are you lost? Have you ever been saved? I've had them look me in the eye and say, no, preacher. No, I've never been saved. And then I've had them look me in the eye and say, I don't know. I don't know. Folks, I want to let you know something. You can lie to me. And you can lie to your parents or grandparents or your wife or your whatever it might be. You can lie to them, but you won't lie to God. You can tell me all morning, preacher, I don't know if I've been saved. I don't know if everything's okay in here. I don't know. I want you to know this morning, God knows. And I believe in my heart that you know. You know. This morning, where you stand. You know this morning if you've been born again. You know this morning that if you die today, where you'll go, where you'll spend an eternity. And all Cain had to do was be willing to go to the Lord. The examples was there before him. All he had to do was humble himself. This morning, I promise you, you say, well, preacher, it's hard to make promises. It is. But that's how much confidence I've got in God. When you go to Him and you give Him everything you've got, listen to me this morning. If you don't get nothing else out of this message, I believe in my heart the only thing God really wants from us is us. Do you know that's the only thing we've got to offer Him anyway? I told you about my children. Well, bless your heart, they ain't even mine. I just borrow them from Him. My wife, He give her to me. My home I live in, it's His. Vehicle, everything that I own belongs to Him. And the only thing that I could offer Him is me. Come to Him this morning. Listen to me. You can go out and gain the whole world. But is it worth your soul? I told you earlier, that's the one thing that I want for my boys more than anything. I want my boys, every one of them, to be good, God-fearing men. But I'll tell you right now, Fairview Memorial, something happens to me and I don't make it home today, don't worry about me. Don't you worry about me, because I'm going home to be with Him. Bless your heart, I had a pretty close call with death not too long ago. My wife walked in there and in the hospital room. She's patting me on the chest. He ain't done with you yet. And he may be done with me today, but don't you bat an eye for me. But I'll charge you right now, you pray for my boys. It's never too early to start praying for them. I've got means for them to go there. I want to be with them forever and forever and forever. I don't want that circle to be unbroken, you see. I want to be there with them. I want to be there with you. I want to be there forever. Can you imagine this morning what it's like there in that city when you enter into the portals of heaven and nobody, no, none of us know what it's going to be like. Now, I have not seen and ear have not heard what he's prepared for us. I'm telling you, it's going to be good over there. And when we get there, there won't be no need for the sun because he is the sun. I've got means for them to go to that city and be there and for us to be hand in hand throughout all eternity. I want to be in heaven with them one day after a while. And I want to be in heaven with you one day after a while. And listen to me this morning, if God is knocking on your heart, don't you be embarrassed about that. Don't you drop your head. There's no shame in being lost this morning. The shame is not doing nothing about it. Leaving here lost and separated from God. Listen, if God's knocking on your heart, today is the day to be saved. Listen to me. He told him this. He said, "What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. And when thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield up thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth." And Cain said unto his Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear." Bless your heart. Jesus had made a way for us. He made a way. He went and laid down his life for me and for you. The Son of God was beaten and whipped and he was scourged. And I'm telling you, I'm not just talking about just a whipping like you'd imagine. I'm telling you, the flesh was ripped off of his back. And he was laid down on a cross, and they took them big nails, and they drove them through his hands, and they drove them through his feet, and they hoisted him up for the world to see and said, "Here is the King of the Jews." So that you and me might could go to him and be saved. Listen to me. You may say to me today, "Preacher, I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to beg." I'm telling you right now, if you're ever going to be saved, you better believe you're going to do a little begging, I believe. Listen to me. You can say right now that I'm not going to do this and I'm not going to do that. But I will promise you this. The Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. And whether you do it on this side or you do it on the other, I'm confident that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. There will come a day when you shall be, those that are lost, that die in their transgressions, that die in their sin, will be like Cain. And they'll say, "This is too much for me to bear. This is too much for me." Listen, those that are burning in hell right now are saying, "This is too much for me to bear." Burning forever and forever and forever. Throughout all eternity, burning. And you say, "Well, preacher, that's just not fair." Listen, God is just. And if he's dealing with your heart today and he's told you that you've lost and he's saying, "Come to me that you might be saved. I stand at the door and I knock." He's knocking at your heart's door and yet you deny him. He's give you an opportunity. Won't you come today? Don't be like Cain. Don't be like Cain and drop your head and go on and say, well, I'll take care of this later. Listen to me. God's dealing with you now. Now is the appointed time. Today is the day of salvation. Won't you come and seek God? Listen to him, what he says over here, and I'm going to be done. Brother, if you'll get us a song ready. I'm going to be done. 7th chapter of Matthew. It says, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. My friend, you'll never know unless you try. Encourage you this morning, try him. Try him. I'm telling you, it's the best thing that's ever happened to me in my life. It's the best. If you want to experience that, I beg you to seek God this morning. Not for my honor, not for my glorification. Listen, I want it to be that you might know that you're saved. I want you to have that peace in here. If God is knocking this morning, won't you come seek the Lord? Won't you come? You ain't never going to be any more lost than you already are. You're just as lost as you ever going to be. And the only way to change that is to seek God. Won't you come this morning? Church, I want to say this one more thing. Cain asked the Lord, he said, am I my brother's keeper? When I started power line work, our motto, we used to wear a patch on our shirt that said, I'm my brother's keeper. I'm going to tell you this, lost friend. When I was lost, I wasn't a bit worried about my other lost friends. I wouldn't. But when God saved my soul and I popped up off of that mourner's bench, my friends that were in that same revival, I wanted them to be saved just like me. This morning, we need to be our brother's keeper. Be about his business. We've got a responsibility to them to point them to Jesus Christ this morning. That's our message this morning. If God's dealing with you, seek the Lord while you can. I beg you this morning, seek God. Brother, go ahead.